And this is War at War Central. Yes, you have reached the bunker of Terrible Tommy and WAR. We're at resist.com on the internet. You can email us at warmetzger@aol.com. And you can write us P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California 92088. And we got some hot stuff today. Dr. Caldeberg's coming over. We're going to do this show on the latest news, even though it won't be such late news by the time it gets to you. Well, we're going to have to do something about that, too. But anyhow, here we go, and let's start the show off with my friend, Mickey Finn. You like those cotton balls, boys and girls? Did you hear that gunfire at the beginning of the show? Yeah, we take quite a bit of fire around here because, you know, we're in northern Mexico, and that is a sort of a rough place to be nowadays, but not if you're a stand-up Aryan boy. You can handle a situation. So let's go on into the news, and we're expecting Dr. Caldeberg any time now. Come on, Doctor. I know you're making it up the trail in that old Jeep of yours. You've been out panning gold for the last few days in the back country in the high desert. So I hope he's got some yellow to show us this morning. Well, I think I see that trail of dust coming up the old trail out there. I can see for about a mile from the bunker here with my periscope up all the way. Yeah. We should get some warning from our lone wolves, though. Well, I'd know those wolf calls anywhere, man. That means the doctor is in the vicinity. Well, Dr. Caldeberg, I see you finally made it in that old jalopy of yours.
Oh, yeah.
How come you got
it right?
How come you got it painted pink? I thought it was supposed to be camouflage painted.
That is not pink.
Oh, it's not pink? Okay.
No. Must have got blood on it.
Did you find any yeller today?
Just in my teeth.
Oh, man. You keep scrounging around in those mountains. You ain't got no gold yet.
No.
Come on.
There's no water up there. You know,
well, you gave up on Enron, so you're digging around in the ground now, huh? Okay. What's the news we got today? We got
all kinds of stuff. You got everything from the Mexicans, the Republicans are going nuts over the Michael Moore movie. Yeah, Saddam Hussein's turned over to the WOGs.
Wow, we got lots of stuff. Well, what's the first item we want to exploit here, man?
What the hell did you do with my table?
Your table.
You sell us to the Mexicans or something? There used to be a nice table in here, and now we don't have a table.
Same damn table you always had.
Oh, you moved it over there.
I just turned it. It was perpendicular to the window, and now it's horizontal.
Oh, okay.
And I had to make some more room in this damn place.
I like the table
right
through the center.
Yeah, well, I like it this way because then I got more floor space during the week. I can move around.
Yeah, well,
this damn place, I'm going to, one of these days, this shit's going to tip over and kill me, man.
What's more important, your week or my 1 hour doing the show?
My week.
Gobble.
I moved those computers over there, and stuff here. And I got my karaoke machine right there.
All right.
So when I get pissed off at the world and the kikes and the niggas, I can turn on my karaoke machine and it takes me away.
And torture everybody else.
Cruel
and unusual punishment.
So anyhow, I like the desk. You'll like the desk. Just get used to it. Now, what's the first item?
You see the Michael Moore Fahrenheit 9/11?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Gotta go see it.
I want to see it the first day. I've had all this stuff. You see, I work. I work real hard.
Oh, you do?
We had to get the paper ready, right?
You
finished editing it. Then I had.
You mean I worked there too.
I had to take it to the printer,
uh-huh.
And then the next day I had to get it ready to go with the postage,
uh-huh.
And then the next day I had to go up and see my brother,
uh-huh.
And then the next day I had a whole bunch of work. Oh, I had to get it all into the mail,
uh-huh.
Now we're down here to yesterday was full of service calls.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, baby, I work for a living, you know, a little bit, and so now it's Wednesday, and maybe this afternoon I'll get to see.
Goddamn right. You better.
For sure. Thursday.
I had a weird experience. I went on the very first day open. I went on the first showing, which is 11:45 at the Tower, which is an artsy-fartsy theater.
Yeah. Good seats.
Good seats. Yeah. If you don't like
the movie, you can get a good seat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's got like this little parlor where they give you free coffee and stuff. It's actually a pretty cool place.
Oh, you socialist. I
love that coffee, baby.
You socialist.
And anyway, I went in there and the place was packed and stuff. And it was just packed full of people. You know, this is a matinee. So I was like, wow, I've never seen one packed before. So we were watching the movie and it was all talking about how the FBI is always jacking these people up. Lo and behold, I go out. Here's these people with these pads asking these people their names and where they live.
That's Homeland Security.
I was thinking, what the fuck? Are we getting raided?
It's the FBI.
So one guy was asking me a question, so I just kind of told him to fuck off. And there was a girl there, and I heard her saying that she was from the newspaper. And I go, oh, they're reporters. That's who they are.
Yeah.
I was thinking we're getting busted or something.
Yeah, those reporters spill half their stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of reporters' notes. Anyway,
You know, remember back in the Nixon years?
Yeah.
Oh, hell, one out of five reporters working for CIA or FBI.
Just the Portland thing. Remember that one reporter that interviewed guys from the Seattle Times?
Yeah.
He was more than willing to give over his notes and what he didn't, even notes that he didn't write down, he quote-unquote remembered what said, even the shit that didn't write down.
Right. And
he had an ironclad memory when it was stuff that would fuck us.
That's right. And that's why you can never trust the press because, like I told a couple of gals from the New York Times one time, I says, you are whores.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you are, is whores.
And that's a good
Except
point.
The fact. In fact, you're not even good whores.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, did you ever hear that joke, what's the difference between a whore and a bitch?
What?
Well, a whore is a lady who will have sex with everybody in town.
Mm-hmm.
And a bitch is the one that'll have sex with everybody but you. Okay, let's go on to our next one. Now, that was a damn good joke.
I laughed almost.
Yeah, you
I
didn't,
almost laughed.
Man, you didn't laugh very loud.
Well, you don't like my coffee? My laughing?
Oh, God, you make coffee, so, you know, I won't even need Viagra when I drink your coffee.
Well,
wow.
You mean that's my coffee, tea gives you gas, my coffee gives you an erection. Jesus, what does water
sure,
give you?
I'd sure regular get an erection and get... gas. But anyhow, he makes this damn espresso kind of coffee.
Oh, yeah. It's super speed, baby.
You could stand up a pitchfork in that damn
cup. Gotta drink a gallon a day.
How can you handle that? You know, they found out that that's bad for... I forget what it was, that it was very bad for you. I think it was your bladder, your kidney, or your... Something. Well, anyhow, let's go on. So you enjoyed that, huh?
Oh, that was great. I mean, it was just so much stuff there. You got to see it more than once. Because, I mean, it's just endless facts. You know, like, you know how he's talking. He plays a pretty cool rock music track, too, so I like a lot of cool songs when I was young from the 60s and the 70s and stuff.
Back when you were Trotsky.
Yeah, in my day. And he was playing a lot of these hardcore rock songs, even some Metallica and different stuff like that. And all these headlines were popping up, all this evidence and stuff. And then the guy that, you know, Bush would be talking, and they'd show him where he's lying. And then he showed the entire 7 minutes of when he's sitting there for the kids, you know, and they had like a timer on it right after 9/11, and he's reading a book, and the Secret Service come in and tell him about the first plane hit and the second plane hit, and he was just sitting there like, like, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah, right.
Like a total fucking idiot. Because you know, there was no handlers around. It was just the Secret Service, and the Secret Service told him, and he didn't even know whether to, he didn't call anybody. It seemed like he said, well, he would call his vice president and say, well, Dick, what the fuck should I do? They're attacking us. But he just sits there like a moron.
Well, that's because the strings weren't attached for Cheney. Cheney has to manipulate him like a puppet, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I've seen clips and pieces of it, so it looks like it's going to be pretty good. And it might be the first so-called documentary that tanks a president.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it very well could be.
Well, I almost got in a fight in the gym yesterday because there was a black guy in there, and he saw it. We were talking about it, and we were saying that, you know, they say in there that, you know, Bush, they proved that Bush, the Bush family had that ties with the Bin Laden family, really deep.
Ties?
Deep ties. Well, they say that, you know, that Saudi Arabia controls 7% of the United States economy. 7%? That's an outrageous amount.
Yes.
And they were showing all these huge connections. And that not only did they give planes to get the Bin Laden family out,
they went all over the country.
They flew all over the country to get these people out. Bush gave an order for the FBI not to question the Bin Laden family. They couldn't subpoena them. I was wondering because I heard where they kicked them out like in about two, or they let them go out in 2 days. I think, well, they sure must not ask very many questions. Well, according to this, they didn't ask any questions at all because the president wouldn't allow them.
No,
so we were saying that basically.
They did ask if they had their passports.
Yeah, yeah.
At the last minute.
Yeah. Do you have a passport? Sure. Okay. Bye bye.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he really turned them into him. He said, well, could you imagine them not asking questioning Timothy McVeigh's family after the Oklahoma City bombing or make zipping them out of the country before they could ask him any questions? And we were talking about the gym. Says, you know, any other president would be treason because here's 3,000 people murdered, and he's giving a direct order to the police not to investigate the murderous families because no wonder they can't find him because they haven't been able to ask the family where the fuck he is. You know, if you want to ask where a murderer is, you ask his brother, sister, father because they're the ones who know. They wasn't asked that. To talk to the Bin Laden family, ship him out and stuff like that. And he said, there's 3,000 people dead. He's blocked a mass murder investigation, and nobody's talking about treason. We were talking about this, and there was this one guy in there, and he was getting so mad. I mean, he was sucking in his lips, and he was just puffing out his cheeks, and he wanted to punch us, too, but I guess we're bigger than him, so he just sat there and got all pissed off. That was kind of funny.
I do that, too. I do that at the post office regularly. I give a little, almost a mini speech.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess the other day I was in there talking about, well, if they invade your country and they occupy your country and you chop their heads off, well, that's they got it coming.
No.
I do the same thing if they invaded and occupied this country.
What they're doing.
Wouldn't bother me. You know, the Sons of Liberty, a lot of people don't want to talk about what the Sons of Liberty did during the Revolution to the Tories, the guys who were still loyal to the king. Hell, they locked some of those people up in houses and burned them alive.
Oh, yeah. Well, that thing that Redcoats and Rebels and stuff, you know, before the Revolution got started, that they were taking anybody who was sympathetic.
Get out of here, you goddamn military planes.
They interrupted my fucking train of thought. Anybody who was sympathetic to the British, and they tar and feather might... No, they took boiling hot tar and dumped boiling hot tar over your body, and most of them died because their skins, all three... layers of your skin will just start peeling off.
They talk about tar and feather, but most people think it's a joke. Well, it's not. I mean, hot tar.
Boiling tar?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine having boiling water all over your body, but boiling tar because the stuff wouldn't cool down
real fast? And then trying to get it off.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what,
and feathers?
You didn't have a gas station on every corner back then.
Oh, yeah. They had to get turpentine, and you have to find a store that sells turpentine if you're out in the middle of the...
They didn't even have kerosene back then, you know. Wow. Okay, so what else? Oh, yeah. You and me both almost got in a fight.
Yeah.
But at different places.
How's this?
Well, I went down to, I took my daughter and my lady and her birthday, and we went down to Lawrence Welk's.
Oh, to the bubbly, bubbly.
To the big resort where all the middle and upper middle class hit those little balls around all over that green grass.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
this area has got about, what, 30?
Yeah, and they're sapping up too much water, man, for these golf courses. But anyhow, I'm going in there a lot of times, and, of course, I like to sing the karaoke. That's why I go in the lounge, you know. And so we're sitting there, and we ordered a drink, and then I walked out to ask the guys. I said, look, my car's parked in a place where it says you're not supposed to park because of this... hotel and all that kind of stuff, but they got construction, they don't have much. Anyhow, they said, no problem. All of a sudden, this big Jew, big old guy, comes running up and he says, You got to throw this guy out of here. You got to get him out of here. You know who this is? This is Tom Metzger. You know, he's screaming at the top of his voice. And these two guys I was talking to are looking at him like he's out of his mind. Sort of like Herb Rubin at the county building. Yeah. The Nazis are coming. So they just stood there. And so I turned to the guy. I'm about 5 feet from him. And I smiled. And I said, well, looks like you haven't got any bidders to throw me out. So it's up to you, Jew. Start throwing, and he just took off the other way, and that's about the last time. Oh, yeah, no. Then he goes back in and sits down, and he's glaring at me from across the room half the evening. But when I'd get up to sing, his table was just only about 3-4 feet from where I was singing. So I'm singing Bad to the Bone, and and I was singing Bad Moon Rising, and I'd look right down at him and smile, you know. he didn't know what to say to go blind. That hasn't happened in a long time, man. It made me feel good.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's still out there that hates me. I thought everybody was getting to love me.
Somebody that would recognize you since you haven't been
here. Well, yeah, I haven't had any big notoriety here, man. I got to, you know, I want to go to places and have a half a dozen people want to kill me. Wait a minute. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, down at the University of San Diego, remember? When you're running for Congress, I think the whole university went to hang you.
Well, no, that was, see, that's the way you can give an illusion. That's a giant university with, what, tens of thousands of people go to it. So the crowd was no more than 1,000, maybe 500 at the most.
Yeah.
And the agitators had got all down front from the commie outfits.
In-car,
those groups. And they had the banners, and they were, had the megaphone. They were making all the noise, while most of the people were just curious, sitting on the grass behind them.
Yeah.
So they started all the crap, and they were throwing money at me, man. I was trying to grab it, you know.
Fuck, I ought to be there, man.
Well, they were throwing quarters and stuff.
You weren't even dancing.
Well, they were trying to hit me, man. That hurt if it hit you in the head. Well, anyhow, I was up there giving a speech and dodging the quarters or whatever. I figured they were throwing that because they probably disarmed them from all their Coke cans. You know how they used to do? They take these sodas and they shake them till they're hard as hell, and they throw them at you. Well, the cops got on to that, so they took their soft drinks away from them. So actually, you only had about less than 100 people giving the illusion for the whole campus.
Well, that's one of the left-wing strategies they teach you when they have a leadership conferences and stuff. Is like when you go to any meeting or anything like that, instead of sitting together and holding your hands, what you do is you spread them out, and you got one guy over here, and you know, if you got seven guys and you got, there's 100 people, just have them spread out, and all seven of them, you know, jump up and talk, and it makes you look like, you know, it's spontaneously out of the crowd, you know, when it's only like, you know, seven guys, and they've got 500 people, and you got seven guys jumping up asking all the questions.
I know Dr. Philip Crane, in his Proofs of a Conspiracy seminar, which was sold by the John Birch Society, but it's a very good tape. If you can still get a hold of it. I may still have it here. It's a long seminar. But he said he was talking to an Egyptian guy that was living in his country, and he said, well, how did these commies work over there like in Egypt and stuff? He said, well, this is the way you do it. The agitators, they get everybody all worked up, and then they're going to all march on the police station. So you get, you know, 200 people marching with clubs and everything towards the police station. And when you get within about a half a block,
you drop at the back.
These guys all step into a doorway,
And
then the crowd attacks the police station. Yeah. The police shoot them, and then they got their martyrs. Yeah. You know? So he said that's how they pull it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, there was another trick, too. I know in the 60s, like during before the anti-war movement got big, there was got about five or six Reds, and they got a van. And they went around to town, had small markets that had really no news on. And they would go to these towns, and they'd have an anti-war demonstration of five guys. They'd call all the press and stuff, get the press there. And then they'd get on the news and stuff. And people say, oh, you know, Idaho Falls has anti-war demonstration, and it makes the news for a couple of days. Then when it dies down, they'll drive over to the next town and do the same thing. And, you know, it builds up. And especially if you went to L.A., you wouldn't get any publicity. You go to these little towns and stuff, you know, you get all the headlines and stuff.
Well,
and they just went across the country. You know, they collect donations for gas, and they went across the country and made the illusion that the left wing was humongous. It was like five guys doing most of the stuff.
Well, know. The civil rights was built on that same concept.
Yeah,
civil rights
exactly.
movement.
Yeah.
They had a few Jews and
yeah.
a few
oh,
people.
Yeah.
they got a few blacks and
they were always moving from town to town, and they would always go to make sure you go to a small market where they're bored, and you'll absolutely get coverage. Like if you go to New York or L.A., nobody gives a shit. You go to bumfuck Egypt, and they say, oh, that's the only thing going on besides the cows getting given bad milk or something.
Well, that was guerrilla theater, sitting into the lunch counters. That was a smart move.
Well, you know, Rockwell did that. Rockwell was good. You were good at guerrilla theater.
Well, I've done quite a bit.
Even to give Duke his credit, Duke was good at guerrilla theater in his day before he became the Duke star.
He was all right till the fist started flying, and then he was long gone. Yeah. That's the trouble with him. Okay, well, let's see. The draft.
The draft
is coming on fast.
Coming on strong, baby.
I heard today, I forget what they said about now they're going, this Marine guy, I know, says they're taking all these guys that were the reserve of the reserve.
Yeah, well, what they were talking about on the radio is like when you sign up, if you sign up for 4 years, that's 4 years active, mm-hmm. and then 4 years reserve. You know, most people don't realize that even if you're the last day of your 8 year, they can take you.
Sure.
And they can take you as long as is basically if they declare some kind of an emergency, they need you, they can take you as long as they want. And officers, if you're an officer and if you retire, they can take you up to your 65. Can you imagine that? Because a lot of those guys, they put in 20 years, they're in their 20s or 30, put in 20 years, they retire at 40. You know, 65 years old, they can still draft you back and tell you to get back into service.
Can you imagine what this is doing to the lives of these young white couples? They're just trying to buy a house, and maybe the guy just got out of college, just got his career going and everything. And what happens then, the guy goes away, and then they all of a sudden they need workers, right? And they're supposed to guarantee their job when they come back, but that's sort of laughed at, I think. Yeah. And then they say, we don't have enough laborers. We got to get Mexicans and Indians and Pakis in here to take their place because we got to have labor, right? Meanwhile, these guys are over in bumfuck Iraq, sitting there by Iraq sucking sand. And their wives are out screwing some nigger back here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what about all these guys? One good thing in a way is all these non-whites that come to this country to get their citizenship, they're getting their ass blown off over in Iraq. There was one guy who was from Lebanon.
Oh, yeah, the guy that they captured. Yeah, they thought he went home, but I guess what happened is he was an interpreter and stuff, and like whenever the Muslims were getting, some kind of a scuffle with American soldiers, they didn't have any way to communicate with them. But a lot of them didn't speak English, and American soldiers didn't speak Arabic, so they would go to this one guy, so he would kind of make peace between the Americans and the Iraqi people. Well, anyway, he was at the base, and here comes this little Muslim kid that says, we got these problems with the American soldiers, can you please help us? So here goes this Marine, he's this WOG Marine, and he goes over to help him, and it's fucking Al-Qaeda. Now they're going to chop his head off because he's going to help these WOGs supposedly to get out of
communicate. Yeah, well, they're going to have to sharpen up, though. I figured he went to AWOL.
That's what they thought.
He deserved
it. For a long time, they thought he was went AWOL, and then they got the story out, and they found out that it was a little kid that came onto the military. I guess because he went past the checking point, he told them that, we need an interpreter.
Well,
so
I remember Vietnam and Korea, where the little kid used to come up with a grenade.
And then if you shoot a kid with a hand grenade, then the left would all upset because you're shooting kids.
Interesting how quickly Bush convinced the guy to take over in Iraq. That was funnier than hell.
The first day, it was the first time in history you had a surprise retreat because they got out of there 2 days early. So you know how you have a surprise attack? This is a surprise surrender. We got the fuck out of there 2 days.
Now you think that the Iraqi leader was demanding that the United States turn it over to him?
Oh, no.
He's probably saying, I don't think so. You're going to take it or we're not going to pay you.
I imagine Bush says, we got 2 days to the deadline. What the fuck? Let's get out.
Yeah, right. He's trying to put some kind of a positive spin on this. But he can't. It's going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
He's already in too
deep. The ironic thing is the only man who could straighten out that country is Saddam Hussein.
That's right.
He's the only one who had the balls to keep those fuckheads into line.
Well, yeah, Iraq would have been simply in civil war for the last 100 years if it hadn't been for him. Or 50 years. He's the one who held it together, dumbasses.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? Bush is a Republican. You got all these Republicans saying, we're going to help you establish democracy. But the Republicans are supposed to help establish a republic.
Oh, yeah, I know.
The Republican Party is supposed to stand for the republic.
Yeah.
And establishing republics,
yeah,
not democracies.
I know.
The founding fathers hated democracy.
Oh, even Thomas Jefferson, you know, you had to be a landowner to vote, and only white landowners could vote.
Yeah.
You know, he was the most democratic of the founding forefathers, and he wasn't even anywhere near
so-called
a Democrat.
No,
he was a mixture of democracy and republic.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't. Remember him and what's that other guy that was in the Revolution? Patrick Henry.
Yeah.
They lived in the same area, but Patrick Henry was a working class kind of guy, and Jefferson used to refer to him as a barroom tavern ruffian.
Yeah.
But he got his law degree the hard way, and Jefferson and him hated each other. Yeah. Patrick Henry and Jefferson, because Jefferson sat up there at this big farm in Monticello with 200 slaves and screwing one of them, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably more than one, yeah. He's dipping into the trough.
Right, there. Yeah, okay. So anyhow, we've got that all figured out that we're going to be this. See, here's what they're doing. They're bleeding the shit out of this country.
Mm-hmm.
They're going more and more in debt,
yeah,
right? Meanwhile, China's coming on real fast.
Oh,
China's past us now. In industrial development, virtually everywhere. The only thing that's keeping this system going is consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as long as these dumbasses keep consuming, but how are they going to keep consuming?
They can't buy.
If they don't have any money to buy.
Eventually, they won't be able to, you know, they're all putting it on credit cards, but eventually, you're going to have to pay the bill. You can't just charge it for the next 100 years.
Well, I heard on the radio yesterday that in the college and the high school kids, they're giving credit cards to kids that are 18 years old. They're maxing them out, and maybe the high school kids got 5 credit cards.
Yeah, they got
to
have their parents sign for them, so that way they can't declare bankruptcy.
Well, this bubble's got to burst.
Yeah.
Well, I see the old Jew up there at the Federal Reserve is going to raise the interest probably the next couple of days.
Yeah.
But you see, the secret of that, a lot of people don't know the power behind the Jew is the Open Market Committee.
Oh yeah.
It's not Greenspan. Greenspan is a front man. But it's the Open Market Committee that holds all the power. And how many people in this country know who the people on the Open Market Committee are? Those are the ones in charge of giving the government phony bills and coming back with real greenbacks, you know, in that scam that how we have money. All our money is loaned into circulation by private corporations, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Speaking of another front man, the Bush administration is dropping big hints that it wants to get rid of Ashcroft, because Ashcroft was hired, and he knew it, he was hired as their spear man. Whenever the Bush administration wanted to do something fucked up with law enforcement, that's Ashcroft's job, and he's agreed, you know, like, to push the Patriot Act there and stuff, and to increase law enforcement powers. But they're saying now that he's got his own political baggage, and that Ashcroft may need to bite the bullet and get another patsy in there to do Bush's dirty work, because they're saying that he can't do the dirty work anymore, that people aren't accepting. Even right-wingers don't like him because they think that he's...
Well, he's insane.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's a Bush appointee, so it had to be insane.
They're
like
both insane.
I mean, Meese was nuts, too. Rumsfeld. He used to pray to a rock.
Yeah, well, you've got these Jewish absolute nuts up there, Wolfowitz and all those guys. They're
I think it was Wolfowitz is the movie that the Fahrenheit 9/11, and they were showing all these scenes, you know, like when they were doing interviews and stuff. You know how they have the warm up there and they have the camera running.
Yeah.
Well, he was taking his own slobber. He was spitting in his hand, putting it in his hair, spitting on his comb, and he was doing this for maybe 5 minutes.
Typical rag merchant kite.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he looked like an A. Wyatt Man kite, and like he was just spitting on his comb. Well, he had another guy spit on his comb for him and dragging it through his hair, and it was just, I guess it was a Secret Service guy spit on his comb, and it was the bizarrest thing.
I was talking to a guy who claimed to be a half-Jew last night, and he hates him, too.
Yeah.
He hates them, too. In fact, he hates Israel.
Yeah.
You know, so what do you say?
Yeah.
What else is going on, man?
I was just talking for 5 minutes. What do you mean, what else is going on?
Well,
it's your turn to talk.
Well, I talked, too.
I didn't even take a breath.
Well, now we got the outsourcing going. That's still going on big time. They're not stopping it.
What outsourcing?
Outsourcing, the jobs.
Job outsourcing.
To Pakistan and India and all that kind of stuff. And the balance of payments are going to hell. And like I said before, the interest is going up. And that's good.
Yeah.
Come on, let's bring it down here and let's make the average guy squirm, man. Give him a little taste of the medicine I have had for many years.
The average Mexican will get upset because his job is going out of the country.
You know, I'm doing a lot of DVDs now, and we've got, not too long, we're going to have All Our Race and Reasons on DVD. And I got a whole bunch of them come in, videotapes came in. In fact, we rescued him from Dr. Herbert Poinsett, who is dead now. But Herb asked me years ago, could he use the moniker Race and Reason? And I says, yes, even though it's copyrighted, you can use it. And he started making shows, and he did a good job, but it was a little bit reactionary, but mostly National Socialist, the traditional National Socialist stuff. Well, I was looking on those tapes, and he was promoting that NSDAP of, what's his name up there in North Dakota? Gerhard Lauck. You know, the phony Hitler with that phony speech. He tries to sound like a German accent.
Oh, he has a German accent.
And I think he's got a little speech problem anyhow, and then he wears that Hitler mustache. Well, he was putting his ads on the front and not giving us any credit at all, and then they had a big spread in their newspaper a few years ago about Race and Reason created by Dr. Herbert Poinsett and NSDAP or whatever they call it. Shit, we didn't get any credit at all.
This is after years you already had the show for
Hell, we'd been in the production for...
Since what, 84?
5-6 years at least before that happened. But anyhow... In the search for historical accuracy, we will reproduce these on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reproducing DVDs of guys who have turned traitor, because when they had done the tape, the show, they weren't traitors.
Mm-hmm.
But forever on these DVDs, they're going to be known as stand-up racists.
Yeah.
And they'll have to explain that to all their
friends. Well, you know what's funny is that whenever you think about it, think of all the thousands and thousands of guys who were in the movement and just disappeared. They just fell through some, like, a hole in the universe, a black hole in the universe, and disappeared. All these guys that are saying they're going to die for the white race and everything, and you just never hear from them anymore.
Oh, I don't worry about that, because that's in every movement.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I think the left wing, the Marxist, WCTU... the libertarians.
Well, that's what Gus Hall.
That's why you don't build a hardcore organization on the masses.
Yeah,
that is totally wrong.
Uh-huh.
At least at this time,
Hitler
built the power first by intrigue and cleverness and all he did, and then the masses came to him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he kept talking like he was talking to the masses, but what he was really talking to the few people in the masses. That could come along and be the hardcore interpart. These guys don't have a hardcore interpart, the right wing, and they go to the masses. And the masses don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care. They only care about one thing. Do you have the power?
That's true.
If you got the power, we will follow you.
You know, Gus Hall wrote once that he made this speech, and he was the head of the Communist Party of USA, and 200 people joined the Communist Party after that one speech. But he said 2 years later, 80% of them had dropped out, and he never heard a word from them ever again. So basically, you can jack these people up with your fire. Because he was a good speaker. Everybody, he was a kike and everybody. He was a good speaker. You can jack these people up, but once you're done speaking, they just kind of fade away.
That's why you got to take a lesson from the Al Qaeda
or
any group like that. You forget the masses, even though you talk to the masses in propaganda, but don't depend on the masses.
Oh, yeah.
Now, here's the Al-Qaeda. How many could there possibly be?
Hardcore,
1,000 maybe?
Yeah, around the world, yeah.
Not any more than that. Yeah. And they've got the whole world turned upside down. Now, doesn't that tell you something?
Oh, yeah.
The masses are either afraid of them or they love them. And either way, it's okay.
I think the reason that they can't really fight Al-Qaeda is Al-Qaeda is a lot like the Irish Republican Army, because I was reading this piece of the guy in Scotland Yard, and he said for years they tried to break the back of the Irish Republican Army, and they just couldn't do it, Like, they would go and they would hit this camp, training camp, and it wouldn't make any difference. So finally his theory was, that the Irish Republican Army really doesn't exist. It's basically just a concept out there, and you have five or six guys get together and say, hey, Jim, let's go build an IRA training camp. So they build an IRA training camp. You can get those guys. Then over here, here's another five guys say, hey, Jim, let's go bomb this building. And then they'll bomb a building, and you get those five. But it's such an organic thing. It's just a state of mind. And so you can't really kill an idea. So that's why they say that. You know, and there'll be like a few figureheads who claim, quote, unquote, that they're, you know, like Adams and stuff, who claims he's part of, you know, Sinn Féin and stuff, and the political voice of the IRA. And they're just bullshit artists. That's why whenever Sinn Féin makes a piece in behalf of the IRA is still sitting off bombs, and then they just say, oh, it's just radical faction. What it is, they have absolutely no power, and it's just these drunken guys doing what the fuck they want to do, you know, and it's all just bullshit.
Well, it worked.
Yeah, and Al-Qaeda's like
it
that.
It worked.
And Al-Qaeda's like that. I bet you anything that Al-Qaeda, you know, you'll have a few guys playing soldier here and a few guys playing, and it's a concept in the Islamic world, and now you'll constantly forever having guys being Al-Qaeda, and if bin Laden today called a peace treaty and says there's no Al-Qaeda, he couldn't stop it, quote-unquote, there'd be radical factions carrying the struggle on, because he actually has no real power. You know?
Well, look at the KKK.
Yeah.
That's the way it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Bedford Forrest had the meeting and said, we're disbanding this, and it's no longer around.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still around.
It's still around, yeah.
So that doesn't mean nothing. In fact, it's more powerful when it's not around than when it is around.
Oh, yeah, you know it's like 135 years or so after it's been disbanded.
Well, when it was headed by gentlemen, you know, they tried to control the violence.
Yeah.
But really, the only way that type of an organization can have the power and keep the power is through violence in some fashion or another. Not just indiscriminate violence, but enough to keep the people, keep the right people off your back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're living in a community and you know there's a secret society there that will kill, now your situation would be a little different, wouldn't it, than normal. You would be a little reticent even what you said at the local bar or at the post office or whatever. But in a community where there is no such thing like that and only the cops have the power, people just say anything they want. So for good or for bad, you see, I'm not judging. I'm just saying the tactic is perfect. It is traditional. The Al-Qaeda tactic, the IRA tactic, the lone wolf tactic has been around for thousands of years. Look at the thugs in India. Now, all they had was a few guys and a few garrots and knives. And they would go into a crowd and pick out their target and just slit him in the back, and they're gone. And they couldn't catch him. It was genius. It was genius. You know, who needs big armies?
Just like
but, you know, but it's no less or no more terrorist than dropping bombs from airplanes and all of that, cluster bombs and all that. That is supreme terrorism.
You know, before the Russian Revolution, there was these groups of they were Christian socialists. They were actually Russian Orthodox socialists. And they call themselves the Social Revolution League or Union. And what they did is that their job was to, they believed it was God's will for them to assassinate the royal family. But then they also believed it was an immoral sin to kill people. So that in order to pay for the sin, they had to kill themselves. So they'd strap dynamite on themselves. They'd run up to like a duke or somebody and blow him up and themselves up and to redeem their sin. Talk about being scary. A bunch of Jesus freaks willing to kill you, but they got to kill themselves not to piss off God, you know?
Well, that's like Palestinians right now.
Suicide bombers, except the Muslim suicide bombers are doing it because they'll be rewarded with 72 black-eyed virgins. I don't know where they get the black eyes, where they beat them up or something.
No, they're mostly black-eyed people.
Oh, yeah, that's probably why. And with the social revolutionaries, they're blowing themselves up to God wouldn't punish them in hell. That was the way they would pay for their they'd atone for their sins on earth, so they wouldn't have to atone.
Well, but that means they're going to heaven and have virgins too.
Well,
what the hell's the difference?
The Christians would probably want virgin boys, and then the Muslims would want.
Well, yeah, but you know, you're going. They were by getting their sins forgiven. That meant they're automatically going to heaven.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah,
sit on a cloud, walk on those streets of gold, and.
Damn right.
And I don't know what this
religion.
I never heard anything about sex. I think the Muslims got a better deal.
Oh no, the Christians. All the Christian churches I've ever talked to, preachers, is everybody in heaven is asexual. You have no sex at all. You know, there's no men and females. You just kind of floating around.
I think I'd rather go to hell if you can have sex
with me. Go to Valhalla and it's a big drunken orgy.
Yeah, right. Maybe. I know. Well, I know a lot of skinheads that are already in Valhalla.
That's true.
Because they go out there and do that right now.
This is the 80th anniversary of the Night of the Long Knives.
Well, that's great. Wait a minute.
No, it's not great.
Wait a minute. I was thinking about something else. You almost trapped me into that, man.
What do you mean it was great?
No, it wasn't great. It was terrible.
That's when people like us would have got whacked.
Yeah. And you can see what's happening right here in this country.
Uh-huh.
It was up the right wing and the protocol people and Duke and these guys, Fields and all these people, they'd whack us right now if they had the ball.
Yeah.
If they had the power, they would do it.
That's true.
But I think we got more power right now. We decided to do it.
Well, you know what the funny thing is the New York Times and the London, was it the Times, the Post in London? Well, they were praising Hitler for the Night of the Long Knives, and all the Jews were all happy because they got rid of the SA and they killed Gregor Strasser, which was the second guy in power of the Nazi Party, and they were basically the only ones criticizing Hitler. So you got rid of all the dissent out of the Nazi Party. There was nobody to tell Hitler to stop, so there's no dissent. Basically, this is the anniversary of the Holocaust, because from now on, the Jews were fucked.
Yeah.
There was nobody to say, hey, let's not do that.
Well, they would have probably adhered to the Nuremberg laws. Laws were okay. I mean, they just wanted
Strasser was the number two guy in the Nazi Party, and basically all he wanted to do was have the Jews sign an oyalty both to Germany, and if you pledged to be loyal to Germany, that was it. If you didn't, you were gone.
Of course, a lot of those Jews, they'd sign any. They'd lie their ass off.
Yeah.
And they got the Kol Nidre, where they're absolved of all their lies once a year if they go to a synagogue and sing that song.
Yeah.
I've got a copy of that song.
Thyssen?
You know, nobody seems to give a shit about it. You tell non-Jews about it. And it's the most amazing thing to me in the world that this many people can be cowed and mesmerized by such a small group of people.
It's always been like that, though. That's the natural order.
No, it's worse now than it ever has been before by the Jews.
Yeah.
People won't even say Jew in a public place.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you go into a restaurant and sit there in a restaurant and say, everybody's going to be talking, right? And you say, Jew, and watch them. Mm-hmm. Their heads will spin around. It'll get real quiet, oh, you've done something real terrible. Wow, what power, man. Could you think of that if you were a Nazi or something and you had that kind of power?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say Nazi,
Other
than saying wonderful Nazis.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you going?
I don't know. You interrupted.
Thyssen.
Thyssen, Thyssen, one of the big capitalists.
The chicken boy.
Yeah, that helped. No, that's Thyssen. Thyssen.
In Germany.
Germany.
Oh, well, he's the one who convinced Hitler to do the Night of Long Knives.
Yeah. Well, he was a big one that financed the party. Well, I was reading in the Village Voice, they had a whole thing about the Skull and Crossbones, this thing that both Kerry and Bush were both a member of the Skull and Crossbones. Well, yeah. Thyssen was a member in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's really interesting that he was part of the same Masonic Lodge as George Bush and both Bushes. Kerry.
Well, the way I look at that stuff, I look at it more that it is like-thinking people coming together rather than people coming into this deal and coming out with and being brainwashed while they're there.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that. I think these are sort of like-thinking people, or some people who say it's good for me to think this way.
Yeah.
They go in and join this stuff. Yeah. So a lot of people think the opposite. They think they go there and there they are brainwashed. Maybe there's a little bit of that, but I think a lot of that Skull and Crossbones is a bunch of bullshit and they know it,
Well, like I say, but it is kind of weird that like they, both presidential candidates were a member of the same Masonic Lodge,
Well, how about all these guys that are all part of the Republican Party? I mean, they belong to the Masons and everything, I just gotten so tired of right-wing conspiracies. Uh-huh. And I was raised on them. I studied them for years. My library is full of that stuff. And there is major conspiracies, but I believe the enemy concocts conspiracies to keep you off the main conspiracy.
You've been watching the X-Files too much, because that's exactly the theme of the X-Files.
It is?
Is that the government makes up all these kooky conspiracies so people can keep their mind off of the real conspiracy. They make up all this Rockwell.
That is what I've come down to believing.
Yeah. Roswell, not
and
Roswell.
I think they use the right-wing conservative mm-hmm. movement and the Christians as a conduit to take all the wind out of the sails of a real conspiracy expose.
Yeah.
And to get you thinking, there's 50,000 conspiracies, you know?
Yeah.
So look at the flying saucer thing.
Oh, that's what I said, Roswell. You know, that was a big thing, is they made that up so people wouldn't know what the military-industrial complex is really doing. You know?
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I still don't know what's going on. Well, I read all this stuff, and I listen to Art Bell sometimes and all that stuff.
Well, that's what I've heard, that they were out there testing these top-secret military planes, and people would see them, so that the government invented this flying saucer thing, and the whole thing with the dummies, and then they photograph it, and they had the officer say he saw the dummies, and then he was kind of like a spear catcher, just like Ashcroft. And then once that got in the news, and they'd attack him and say, oh, he wasn't supposed to say it, he's just a nut. And all this guy, you know, this one officer would take all the shit for claiming to see the bodies and stuff. And everybody's talking about all these UFOs. They're not talking about all these secret military projects that are actually really going on. The real conspiracy, like you say, the real conspiracy.
Well, you know, talk about the big conspiracy. Now, I felt I was used during the Cold War. Mm-hmm. I put all my energy into fighting communism.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the whole damn thing was sort of a setup.
Oh yeah,
because the military-industrial complex loved it because they could spend trillions, and they're still doing it today to defend us because they're going to get us at any moment. When the KGB has given out a lot of information since the fall of Soviet Union to show that they weren't near as powerful as what we had them being, and of course they were doing the same thing to keep those people under glass. And here we were worried about the communists, and the niggers were getting taken over the situation.
Oh yeah.
It was all, and I remember Robert Welch of the John Birch Society attacked the racists because, you racists are helping the communists.
Mm-hmm.
See, racism helps the communists. Yeah. And so I think that
anti-communism helps the racists.
Well, George Lincoln Rockwell was right on about that. Mm-hmm. Now, he understood that way back, even though he was somewhat reactionary, mm-hmm. as we all were at the time. George Lincoln Rockwell recognized that was a sort of a scam. He was an anti-communist, but he went right to the core and said the heart of communism is Jewish. Yeah. They can't deny it. I get so damn tired of hearing them deny that Jews are at the center. And even after the revolution, the wolf in the Kremlin with Kazanovich, the Jew, who was in charge of killing millions in Russia. You hear the right wing talking about millions in Russia. Kazanovich, the kike, was the main man doing it for Stalin. Now, how come they say, there is the Jew, there is the proof that the Jew is involved in killing far more than Hitler ever even thought of killing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that something? It just makes you so pissed off at how stupid people are, you don't want to have anything to do with them.
Yeah. Well, a lot of communism, too, is based on Christianity, because a lot of it came out of the Christian socialist movement and the novel Thomas More's Utopia and stuff, so a lot of it's out of the Christian thing.
Well, I read stuff. Humanism. I read stuff from a rabbi one time, says how you're nuts. We're for capitalism and like that, and you're Jesus with a communist, you know.
But
you're against communism. Everything about him was communist.
Yeah.
I mean, real basic communism.
Yeah, the whole thing, you can't go into heaven unless you, a rich man is, a poor man is more likely to go to heaven than a rich man. And a Christian can own the shirt on his back, and you can't be proud.
And you got to walk away from your family.
Yeah.
You know, like, join us, the Communist Party.
Yeah.
It's all like communism.
Yeah, and they're all the Brotherhood of Mankind.
Oh, yeah, and they're up there, the Sermon on the Mount. Isn't that where they made the, multiplied the fishes and stuff?
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, here's all these lazy asses sitting around there not doing anything instead of working, then they're giving them all free fish and free bread, you know. The whole damn concept, if you study it carefully, is like communism.
Oh, yeah, so, you know, he preaches universal brotherhood and everything.
Yeah,
and
man.
World revolution.
You know, the Supreme Court came down a little bit in our favor this week.
What did they do this time?
Because it rejected legislation or an idea to cut access to porn on the internet and to make it tougher.
Oh, well, it was cut access
to porn.
They're going to cut it?
Cut it. They wanted to make laws to make it really difficult to put porn on the internet.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's direct. Now the conservatives are all, oh yeah, that's good. We got to protect the little kids. You know, of course, in fact, about 10% of the conservative Republicans are perverts
too. Yeah.
You know, homos and everything else, but they lie. But anyhow, the point is, they want to include us in porn.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. The minute they get something against free speech on that internet, they're going to stretch it out. And anybody who says, well, they have a right to speak, they're going to say, oh, you must be a Nazi. Oh, no, I'm not a Nazi. I'll sign here, okay? Well, so unfortunately, politics makes strange bedfellows. Mm-hmm. And here we are with Larry Flint in the same bed sometimes. And
as long as he doesn't bring his wheelchair.
Yeah, right. But we have to understand that right now the left wing is putting out more truth on what's going on internationally and monetarily than the right.
Well, you know, if I want to read something in the news, I'll either watch The Daily Show or I'll read The Village Voice. On the internet you can get it free because every couple of days they send me an issue free because they're easing and stuff.
Well, I listen to Democracy Now! And all that on the KPFK. You know, that was started by Dorothy Healy, who was cited as a communist.
Well, that Barbara Goodman's,
Goodman. Yeah. Well, anyhow, I'm telling you, I'm the only place, one of the only places, except there is on satellite,
Links.
Links, and you got this Canadian World Service.
Oh, yeah.
They put out some straight stuff.
Yeah.
You can't get it off American television.
No.
The newsreels and all that, you can't get the good stuff.
No.
Well, on this Canadian deal, every day they have every country give the news from their country. And so you get a little idea what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you have to go to the left to get the information on the Bush and what they're doing. Of course, you got to take it all with a little grain of salt, you know, like that. But you can't go to the right. The right wing doesn't put out anything that's not sort of, well, they may say they're against Bush, but we got to stand up for this conservative thing and William F. Buckley and all that.
You know, a lot of the people in the race, they'll say, well, the left is so anti-white. And, well, that's true. You just got to edit the bad stuff out, and you got to realize that they're from an anti-white point of view. But once you do that, and if you're smart enough, hopefully you're smart enough, you edit out all their anti-white bullshit.
You have to do that
with everything.
The movies, everything.
Yeah, you got to be your own editor.
You can't just open your brain.
Oh, yeah, because we live in a society where everything sucks. So, if you don't edit it out, you're just going to...
Well, yeah, and I definitely tell people, you know, the left is all screwed up on the race issue.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. They're a big race. But, you know, and that is the biggest mistake the left ever made, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, that's
the economic thing, it'll go right down the path. But if they would stick to territorial imperative and racial pride and stuff like that, the left would be in power in this country.
That's true. If they didn't have so much hatred for the white working man, they could have been in power by now. Because remember, like in the 60s, you had the freaks against the hard hats?
Yes.
Which basically you had all these rich college kids and kikes and stuff fighting the white working man.
Yeah.
And they always saw the white working man as Archie Bunker, you know, this ignorant redneck son of a bitch who's the enemy in the
and
real
they still
cause.
Do it.
Yeah, they still do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they see the third world invader as the liberator and stuff. You got the rich white people uniting with the third world invaders against the white working class.
That's why we have to take the good stuff from the left.
Yeah.
And if there's anything on the right that's any good at all, it's pretty hard to find anything.
Yeah.
And bring it together into our thing, you know.
Yeah, that's one thing that I didn't like about this Michael Moore, Fahrenheit 9/11, is he did not have one single word about Israel. Not even a mention, not even a reference, and absolutely not even a second about it. Not even showing a little bit of an Israeli flag.
Well, hell,
it's like Israel didn't exist.
Well, do you think he got his movie out?
Yeah, that's true.
Weinstein financed
it. Yeah.
If he'd have come out strong against Israel, he wouldn't have got it in any theater. So, you know, he danced with the devil, and even if he wanted to say stuff about Israel, evidently he said, well, that'd be going just a little bit too far for me to get this damn thing going.
There's controversial movies and then there's controversial
movies. People like him can get out of hand.
Yeah.
I mean, they can get so powerful and get so much money that they really let loose.
Well, look, I was telling people what's good about this movie is have people go see this movie, and then after they see it, then you tell them the whole story. You know,
right?
You know, that's part. You know, Michael Moore movie is definitely part of the story, but it's not the whole story.
It's helping our situation better than anything the right wing can do.
I mean, just tore up the Bush administration.
Hey guys, get that. Get your money in for the newspaper. Subscribe to the war paper.
It's a good one.
Dr. Kahlenberg works his ass off.
God damn it,
this paper. The guy's over there sweating and fuming, and man, I'll tell you, he hardly ever gets anything to eat or anything. He's just working all the time. And we're all working here and trying to get you this paper out that's been around for a long, long time. It's still the same price, $30 in the USA for 12 issues, $40 in Soviet Kanukistan. You need it in Canada. Man, you people need some good information. That country is really fucked up.
That's true.
As far as the racism.
It's not even a country anymore. It's
it's just a
stopping pit in third world.
Yeah, stopping point, yeah. And then they all come down here, you know. It's sort of like an entry gate, you know. And then it's $50 in all other countries, and that's in U.S. funds only, please. And, hey, join our $10 a month club.
What's that?
Or our $25 a month club, our $50 a month club, or our $100 a month club. Well, that's what I'm doing on the update machine that they can call in 760-723-8996, and they can hear... every Friday or every Saturday, I update that and put about a 45-minute message on. You don't even have to have a computer, damn it. And but we need support. You look at this right wing. They've blown millions.
Yeah.
The right wing racists have blown millions. You know, two or three operations have blown money like you wouldn't believe. Mm-hmm. And people even give them big, they will their property to them and everything else. And here we are out here, you know, just if we break even, we're lucky every month. And it's been that way forever.
Well,
it just shows you can't be real hardcore if you want the money, I guess.
You know, I noticed that, you know, that's one kind of thing that gets under my skin, is basically we're the only ones that are really consistent. You know, we consistently have a newspaper, we have the show, you've been doing the Aryan Update for, 20 fucking years?
Oh, longer
you know,
than that.
Race and Reason, you did, 15 years?
Yeah.
We're the only one that's consistent. But in the movement, we get the less fucking money.
Let me tell you what they did to me, the right wing, and they wonder why I hate the right wing. You know, we had this great show, and we had a few people around the country that were going down to the cable station putting it in. Not one major leader, not one leader would promote our show around the country. Here we are. We were the first of all, they said you couldn't get it on.
Yeah.
Oh, you're nuts, Metzger. Oh, the Jews will stop you.
Oh, yeah. That was the big thing. The
right wing's always that way.
You can't have a newspaper. The Jews
can't do anything. The Jews will stop you.
You can't have an internet radio.
Oh, shit. Well, anyhow, so, and we build it up to maybe 50 cities. Maybe not quite that many. But the right-wing leadership would not support it. And some of the guys that came on the show, they would take their show.
Yeah.
And promote it, and not say anything about.
Oh yeah, I know. You know, you give all these knuckleheads a platform, and you're gracious to them and stuff, and let them spill their stupid fucking ideas on our show. And then when they go, they don't even. A lot of times they don't even mention. There was one guy who was selling his show, and he didn't even mention it was Race and Reason. He said his name on a TV show.
See, this is the problem with the right wing, and why people should get out of the right wing and the right wing racial movement, because it's a bunch of capitalist businessmen vying for mailing lists and who can sell the most of this and that. It's not a revolutionary struggle. There's nothing guerrilla about it. And but yet it still dwindles on. And then you got your uniform freaks. You know, they want to parade around once a year, or every couple of years, or every. You know, a couple times a year, people throw bricks at them, and they go, "Boy, we're winning this."
You know, a lot of these guys are one of the revolutionary actions should be revolutionary thought. You ought to be able to look at the society you live in and come up with some kind of alternative analysis of that society. Yeah. But you look at them, and they're frozen into a period of time, and they're dressed up.
A time war.
Yeah, they're dressed up in the for the 30s or the 1860s, and they don't give a fuck what's going. You know, they have no idea what's going on here, and they just dress in these uniforms. They try to attract other people that have uniform fetishes. And
it's incest.
Yeah, yeah.
It's political incest. Yeah. They go round and round and round and inbreed.
Yes, it's not even.
They talk about some white people down in the background are inbreeding. There's nothing more inbred than the right wing in this country.
Yeah. Well, I've done, you know,
there's nothing new. You know, we started the computer deal.
Oh, yeah.
We started the television program. We started all this, and even the update machines.
I started the radical pagan stuff.
You started the radical pagan stuff.
You know, Elsie and Steve and all those guys before me, I mean, they were just pussyfooting around the race thing, and then basically, you know, they basically hate my guts because of it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So, you know, all this shit, and you never get credit for jack shit.
Well, I know, and then they use it, and then they say they created it. And then, you know, well, you see that a lot in the music field where some guy writes a song or does the music and somebody steals it.
Mm-hmm.
They do that. And you know what really embarrassed them is that we do it with almost nothing, only a few people and a little money, and they keep saying, we got to have millions and millions, and we got to have this. And they don't even put out a monthly newspaper. Some of the biggest outfits in the country don't even put out a newspaper or magazine.
Oh, yeah,
well, I think that's the first thing, one thing you should do. Well, anyhow. That's why when they say, well, Tom, how come you're estranged from the right wing? I hate the right wing, and I got 100 reasons for it. And so anyhow, we are the revolutionary racist, and we will take from the left, we'll take from the right, we'll take from anything that makes sense, and we can use it.
Yeah.
And if people don't like it, they can kiss my white ass.
That's true.
Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we're getting down towards the end of the show. I'm going to end it up with a little music here. So I think it's time for us to get out of here.
Good deal.
Are you going to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Happy trails?
Happy trails.
Happy trails. We'll see you next time, and get your money in here, you skinflints. Come on.